Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. This is Chris, and I'm here in bright Victoria. And it wasn't such bright weather. We arrived, it was 35 degrees centigrade, and we were almost poaching in the car with the air conditioner going. We were here for 12 hours, and the temperature was minus one. So, welcome to the Alps of Victoria. We're really blessed because the Alps of Victoria down here near Bright have been having bushfires, and so I'm pretty sure this colder weather has been a blessing to those who are worried about that topic. And of course, it killed the smoke that we were smelling and tasting on the way into Bright, so we benefited. The reason we're down here is because my partner Lotte, she was in a three-day bike tour. The first day was a time trial. She did really well. She came, I think, about seventh on and she's riding a road bike. The interesting thing about this is that her power wattage, she generated nearly 300 watts of power for 26 minutes of her time trial, but the person who won only generated 220 watts of power now, and beat her by 2 minutes. So 2 minutes faster with 200 with probably 30% less power. The reason for this is twofold. One is the equipment. The person who won the event and was much faster than Lotte was riding a time trial road bike, which is an aerodynamic, almost like a Formula One Grand Prix racing car, with a what we call a sperm helmet, which is a helmet that looks like a sperm, and with a complete top to toe skin clothing on, and so it was a very aerodynamic setup. So every time she pushed the pedal, this very light and very powerful 220 watt person went faster than Lotte, because Lotte had what's called wind resistance. The second aspect of it, of course, is body weight. A person who weighs, as Lotte does, in the early 60s kilos, every time they push the pedal, they have to move those kilos in a forward direction. On a flat, that makes no difference at all. But when it comes to a little hill, that's elevation times weight, it makes a huge difference. So in our sport or our work or our life, we have to make sure of two things. One is our power-to-weight ratio is perfect. Now, that means, in a business sense, how much aggression or how much push do we move forward, and how heavy are we, how focused are we? And that really comes down to defining your product, defining what you're good at, defining in many senses what you as an expert in your field on a global level deliver to the client. And on that, that is how you refine your power to weight ratio. You don't have to push hard if you're very light. And a lot of people that I meet in business carry huge amount of unnecessary weight, and that is a burden that will slow you down and make you have to work twice as hard for not even half the results. The second aspect of it is the machinery, the equipment you use. And when we talk about equipment in a business or a personal sense, we're talking about the internet. We're talking about the way we market. We talk about the refinement, the aerodynamics of our delivery of our process, and how clean and simple we make the buying proposition for the client, how easy it is for a person to say, yes, I want to proceed, how easy it is for them to receive the information, how easy it is for them to be complimentary about what they've received, and how easy it is for them to refer you to other people. So I think, yes, it was a bike race, and yes, day one was a time trial, but as far as I was concerned, it was an MBA, MBA in nature, nature's MBA. Day two was really interesting. Day two of the bike race was a long 94-kilometer bike ride up to, and it included two really steep ascents, uphills. What happened on the bike ride is that mostly people are competing here in Bright in this race in teams. Now, a team came to this bike ride sacrificing at least four or five of their team members for one person to win. So one person, a captain, the leader in a business environment, rents, hires, recruits, and people volunteer to be on a team to get a winner to the end. The winner is the team, of course, but it's in this environment, it's an individual. That individual's job is to use as little effort as possible until they need to win. Now, that's really fascinating stuff. So off the start of this bike ride, 94 kilometers long, the first 3 kilometers is what's called a passive stage, which means everybody just rides gently together. But the second they hit the line that said the race was on and the flag went up at about 91 kilometers to go, a team of about 5 people and a few renegades jumped the pack and took off. They took off into the distance, and actually the team of the people in the pack slowed the pack down. So the job of 3 of the 5 maybe of the team was to 2 of them to take the person they wanted to win off onto the distance and race as hard as they could to get as much gap between the pack, they call it the peloton, and the break group. But the rest of the team's job was to slow the peloton down, to get on the front of it and deliberately just slow down kilometre by kilometre without anybody realising. And actually, they got down to, in the first 30 kilometres, the peloton got down to 24 kilometres per hour, which is actually almost jogging pace. The reason for it was to allow the people who were really going to win the race to make incredible leaps. And so at one stage they were the break group were 10 minutes ahead of the pack of the peloton. That's a huge distance in a 3-hour race. And then what Lotta had to do to catch up to that break group was to join with 1 or 2 others and actually burn much more petrol than they needed to if they just stayed with the original break group, and to try and catch up to the front. And so they all the riders ended up within 2 minutes of each other at the end of the ride, which is quite amazing, to be honest. And only one of the break group got to the finish line ahead of Lotte. So the back group worked their ass off to catch up. Now, this parallels relationships in a huge way, because sometimes in a relationship, one person takes a massive leap out ahead, and then the rest of the time their partner is playing catch up. Or it happens in business where a company will find a new product or launch a new program, and the rest of their business will stay, the culture of their business in some respects will stay lagging behind, as the peloton did in this case. And there are people in a culture who will be happy to go slow. They will want what they call life balance. They will want what they call harmonic working environments. They will want peaceful places to be, because their personal life isn't strong enough to go with the pack. And this is a really big problem for a leader, because as a leader, if you're going to make a break and you're going to go out ahead, you want to capitalize and you want to lead that to the finish, and not have firstly have to go back and pull the peloton forward with you, and secondly, you don't want the whole peloton to be slowed down by a couple of people who are consciously, and I mean it consciously, slowing down the culture of the business because they have personal life problems. So I want to say this, that life balance is not for the sake of life, it's for the sake of work. And I think what we need to do is to reorientate ourselves to see that the fact that the better we work and the more adaptable and the more culturally online we are with an organization, the better will be our home life, or the better needs to be our home life. And so rather than to slow the company down, slow work down, slow your working environment down to suit your personal needs at home and in your lifestyle, it might be best to think about it the other way around. The last day of the three-day event here in Brighton, I'll cover this quickly so I finish this on time, was an uphill climb. It was a 34-kilometre long race from the start to the finish, but 17.5 kilometres of that race was up a very steep hill. Actually, you ski at the top of this hill. So you can imagine it was about a 1,000-metre climb in 17 kilometres. So roughly it was a 12% a gradient, and that's for a bike rider, that's really steep, let alone do it for an hour non-stop in a race. In this event, what the teams did is they surged ahead of the pack leading up to the mountain and made anybody in the pack who was worth their salt, who was there as a competitor, they made them chase. In other words, what they tried to do is burn out the competition before the mountain came. Now, this is, to me, is akin to when things are going well and things are going smoothly. That's the time you need to be looking at innovation and opportunity, not when things are going tough and start looking at innovation and opportunity and how to expand your business and grow your market. When things are going well, that's the time you expand. That's the time you threaten your competitors. That's the time you innovate, you create new products, you launch new opportunities, you threaten the competition, because you want them exhausted by the time the tough times come so you can capitalize. So if there's a sudden market growth, you're on the front foot and you've exhausted your competition. Now, this is a really good example. So in this particular race, Lotte was in the main pack, and she was alone. She wasn't in a team in this race. And so every time someone surged to the front and rushed ahead and did a break, she had to chase them. And there were four of those particular breaks in the first 17 kilometers of the flat bike ride out to the start of the mountain. Of course, the people who surged to the front were not the people who were going to go hard on the mountain. What the team plan was to send one by one one of their lesser riders out to ride 3 or 4 kilometres absolutely flat out, exhaust themselves, but in process make other solo competitors chase and run their legs out before the real climb started. You can think of this absolutely perfectly in the terms of a business, but you can also think of it in the terms of a relationship. Sometimes when things are easy, we take things for granted. We are not grateful. We don't do romance. We don't do date nights. We don't do play dates. We don't do things. But when the going gets tough, we start to try and do them. But when the going gets tough, everybody's puffing. Everybody's exhausted. And so the time to invest in your relationship is in your lifestyle when things are going well. I hope this has been interesting. It's been a fabulous 3 days here. We're having a day off today, so we only did 2 hours of hard riding, and that for Lotte is an easy day, and for me a bloody hard one. And she's out doing a 2-hour run after it now before we jump in the car and drive to Melbourne, where she has to do a 2-hour swim. So that's the life of a triathlete, but she loves it and she wants it, and I'm happy to support her on the way down to Melbourne to work with my beautiful and delicious Melbourne clients that I've got for the rest of the week. So to everybody out there, I recommend, if you can get a chance, come to Brighton and enjoy the ski slopes that are not always covered in snow. This is Chris. Have a great time. Bye.